of course, as things progressed, our town got larger. Your group got started. And so how long has the Balloon Fest been going on?
Well, 2008 or 9, there were two gentlemen. One was Constance Stopler with the London Bridge Lions Club and Bob McClory
right.
with the London Bridge Rotary Club. Those two guys are neighbors, and they got together and said, you know, we need to find something that our clubs can use as a major fundraiser, plus provide economic impact for the community. So they're really the brain trust of the whole thing, and they, you know, put a lot of stuff together, and then they started to pull in other people, and that's when I got pulled in, because I've been involved in several other events in the community over the years, and Constant and I had some history working together way back on Project Graduation in those days. And so anyhow, that's where I got involved. And initially it was the two clubs, the London Bridge Rotary and the London Bridge Lions. But since then, you know, it didn't take us long, like 1 year, to realize we need more help.
Right.
I mean, this thing is huge and there are many moving parts. So we invited the Sunrise Rotary Club and the Lake Havasu Rotary Club and the Daybreakers Lions Club to all join. So, and since then we've added the Kiwanis Club. So we basically now we have five clubs who own, we basically own the Balloon Festival. We're incorporated. And so the leadership, the main leadership comes out of all those clubs. We have a board of directors, and then we have an executive director underneath that who is Steve Tickner this year. And Steve coordinates basically all the events.
No, does he ever.
Yeah, he has. We have over 30 committees, and so Steve oversees the 30 committees. And the board are basically representatives from each of the club that constitutes the board of directors.
So when you started out the first year, how many volunteers did you start out with?
You know, I don't know if I know that number, but it was in the neighborhood of 800.
And it wasn't enough?
Wow.
No, it wasn't enough.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not enough today.
You know? Right.
Yeah, we usually need roughly 1,200 to cover all of the shifts that are available for people to work.
Unbelievable. You know, I know when people see the balloons in the sky, I know one of the reasons I wanted you on the show is so that people had an understanding of the undertaking it really is to actually host this show and to put the whole thing together, hoping, of course, that
right.
the W word doesn't show up, the wind.
The weather in general. We're not going to say the other word.
So,
no jinxing.
In the beginning, you know, you invited your first group of balloons out. Now, right. these guys hadn't been to the lake, I'm assuming.
Pretty much not. Gary Moore, who lives here in Lake Havasu, he's our balloon meister, and he's the guy you see flying around town much of the time. We have two other balloonists who live here in town full-time. So we have some people here, and they certainly have been a tremendous resource for us, and they have the connections. You know, they know the balloon people across the country because it's what they do. They travel to different shows and they meet. So our whole event now, we are at the point where our pilots are by invitation only. And that way we are assured that we have, you know, quality pilots and quality people and pilots who are willing to do what we ask them to do as part of our event. And so far it's proven to be very successful, and we actually have a waiting list of nearly 30 pilots who are waiting
right.
to get invited.
Man, oh man.
So again, we're talking to Jim Day. He is the past president of the Lake Havasu Balloon Festival and Fair. And you can talk to Jim as well. 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687 as we celebrate. I think it's what, the 27th Havasu Pioneers radio show. We're on the Lake Havasu City app now, Dan. I don't know if you know that as well. So as part of Speak Out, the Pioneers radio show is on the new Lake Havasu City app.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that.
There you go. More Dan De Los Santos exposure.
Oh, my gosh. So more exposure for our pioneers, more opportunity for them to catch up with things they didn't know about our town.
Right. I was going to ask you, Jim, as far as piloting a balloon goes, are there certifications or licensing that they have to go through as well?
Yes, and they're all under FAA guidelines. So that's part of how we select people to come and be here. We do have several commercial pilots, and our Balloonmeister is commercial piloted. He pilots corporate balloons around the world. So, yes, these people are all certified. It's like going out and learn how to fly an airplane or a helicopter. You have to be licensed and certified.
And it's so specialized, I can't imagine it's one of those inexpensive hobbies you just want to take up one day, right?
Yeah, I don't know all the details, but we've had a balloon, a walk-in balloon for several years, and we had a little commentary piece attached there next to that balloon, and a balloon can run $45,000 or more, you know, to have one made. So they're not inexpensive. And then they have a life expectancy, just like an automobile or anything else. And, of course,
and then there's propane
and fuel.
Then you
have to fill those propane tanks. Right. And this year, our propane bill is going to go up because the price of fuel is really up this year, which is not good for us, but...
Well, let's go ahead and take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jim a little bit more about the actual fair side of it as I wiggle my way through the music here. Looks like having some internet difficulties. So let's go ahead and take a short break. We'll come right back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Dan DeLosanto. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We adapt when we can and just pull the music out from wherever we can, right? But it's not the internet right now, which means we don't have phone lines. You cannot call in. But we've got plenty of conversation going on with Jim Day. He is the past president of the Lake Havasu Balloon Festival and Fair, along with co-host Dan DeLosantos. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, the Lewis Team Coldwell Banker, with team leader Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, Better Business Bureau, and by Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Located in the Laughlin Town Center, visit their website at laughlinnevada.net, and our Havasu Pioneers sponsor, of course, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Dan!
Man, I'll tell you, what an exciting day we have Jim here today, because he brings with him all the history from when the Balloon Fest started and all the way up to today. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how many volunteers that are involved with this. And this year, I understand the invitation is extended out to 80 balloons. Is that correct?
Yes, we've actually had a banner year in our partner sales, so we had to increase the number of balloons. Part of the package, when the balloonists come here, we provide them with a hotel room, and we pay for their propane, and they get a couple of meals each day out of our VIP tent. And for our partners who sponsor those balloons, they all get a free balloon ride. So we have to have enough balloons to take care of all our partners. And this year, our response has been the best we have ever had, which is tremendous. We're so thankful and appreciative of our local businesses who support this event. And so we increased from 70 to 80 balloons. And that'll be roughly 70 sport balloons, the ones you see flying all the time, and about 10 special shape balloons, which sometimes fly, but they mostly tether. They're great photo opportunities, and they're all these special shapes of animals or cartoon characters and various sundry things. They're very cool to see, and you can't believe how big some of them are. They're huge.
Well, you know, and the spectators, especially the kids, love to see those.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're modeled after certain cartoon characters.
Yep.
And I saw Pink Floyd up there. I saw Darth Vader.
Yeah,
you know,
Darth
will
be back,
you know,
this year.
All the really cool shape balloons. And when the weather's just right and they actually do go up, And I've had the opportunity to get some great photos over the years. Yeah. When those balloons start coming over the London Bridge, it's a photo op. If you have not been to the Balloon Fest, you do not want to miss this opportunity, because unlike any place else in the country, when you see these balloons fly up and over the lake, it is a breathtaking sight to see.
Yeah, it truly is. And we mostly try not to fly over the lake. We try to stay more over the channel area.
Right.
We do have licensing and legal issues. If we end up on the California side, that's not good for us. Hence, we have rescue boats. Many people don't know that, but we have approximately 15.
Yeah, we'll have up to 15 this year. I get to say that I was lassoed in, and I'm proud to be the chairman for the boat chase crew.
That's right. So our chase boats are out on the water every time the balloons fly, and if they get in trouble, if the wind shifts on us or the pilots end up getting too close to California, then they drop their line, hook onto the rescue boats, and we pull them back towards the Arizona side. So, you know, these are just little things that a lot of people don't know about. But, you know, there's 15 boats, which, you know, usually means another 30 people that have to volunteer to man the boats.
That's right. We try to have at least two crew members in addition to the captain of the boat on each boat, so that we have the manual labor potential to grab the ropes and bring the hook up and bring the balloons in. You know, I think a lot of people don't really realize what that means to actually end up on the California side. And for those of you that don't really quite get the severity of that, if that balloon gets in too far, it could be a 3-day extraction, because there are no roads to go in and get the equipment. It has to be manually held out of there. And then, of course, either you're driving in on a dirt road, which they have a new one over there now, or you're having to bring it back to a deck boat and start from scratch or bring in gas. It's a challenging aspect. So
right.
Those patrol boats really do provide an invaluable service, not just to mention that what happens when they run out of gas.
Right. Right.
Well,
right.
And you know, each balloon has a crew, and the crew is responsible for spreading the balloon out and getting it filled with air. And then when it comes down, even more importantly, then they have to gather it all up and repackage it in the carry bags that they go into and get them loaded back onto their vehicles to transport them back to wherever they need to be. So, yeah, each balloon has a crew, and that crew chases that balloon all over wherever it goes.
You know, it's a really good topic, Jim. You know, I don't think people really understand how many people are involved with each of these balloons. I mean, it can be a crew of 20 people.
It could be. You can get away with less, but, you know, and a lot of crews follow their balloons. You know, these people are hobbyists, and it's something that they love to do, and so there are some crews that wherever the balloon goes across the country, sometimes these crews will go with them. But many of our crews are local people, and we advertise that on our website. You can sign up to be a crew member and be a part of that experience. And it is a fun experience. If you've never done it, it truly is a fun experience to do.
So people, when they see the balloons go up and they start coming across, mm-hmm. Now we know when you go up to a certain height, you know, you have a direction of breeze. You go up a little further, it changes in another direction, which is how you technically navigate a balloon, if I'm not
really?
Mistaken.
That's
yes,
it.
That's correct.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So, but then, of course, I think some people feel that it's just random where they come down, but in fact, they have a couple chosen landing locations, don't they?
A lot of them do. I mean, there are obviously spaces around town where there's enough room, and not just where to land, but once you land, now you have to lay that balloon down and let the air out, and it's flat and it's big. So, you know, it takes a whole vacant lot, you know.
It's a large area.
And you know, so you see them land in parks and the golf course and vacant lots and places like that. But it's true, you do get the wind shifts as you go up and down in elevation. So in the morning, and we usually about 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning, the pilots are meeting. And we have these little test balloons, helium balloons, that we turn loose, and you watch them go up, and you see what direction they go and how quickly they go. And, of course, we're constantly on the weather channels to see how, you know, how the wind is doing, because wind is the key. If it's over 5 miles an hour, we're pretty much dead.
Right.
Ideally around 3.
And there's wind socks all over the event.
Yeah, some of those.
So you can monitor that.
But the pilots are pretty good about, you know, they know how to go up and find those little, you know, wind turbulence and the direction that they're going. And so and a lot of times if the wind is blowing from east to west, we'd like them to launch at the site on where at right now is at Windsor 4. But if the wind is blowing west, they go up in town and launch up in the center of town somewhere and then blow back towards Windsor.
I had the unique opportunity to go up with Ron and Margo Eros, one of the original pilots that started flying the event. And, you know, a quick anecdote that we were flying, and all of a sudden the wind went dead over the golf course. And for those of you who have never been up in a balloon, I've shot photography from parasails, planes, you know, boats. But when you're in a balloon, it's dead silent.
Yep.
It's absolutely dead silent, and the wind quit blowing, and we ended up over the top about 50 feet over this lady's house, and we're all sitting there, like, what do we do? And here comes this woman in her nightie with a cup of coffee out on her upper deck veranda, and she's sipping on her coffee, and I had to say this, good morning, and she looks up, and then, of course, covers herself,
yeah, <you're>
right. Says, good morning.
Scared her to death.
And we didn't go anywhere for a few minutes.
Wow, that's funny.
So there was a long conversation before we moved on.
Jim, I remember when they were planning the original event, part of the allure, if you will, of Lake Havasu was the ability to touch and go with the water. Do they still do the touch and goes?
Splash and dash.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, weather permitting, it's, you know, if we can do that, we do it. It is one of the unique things, because in most cases, most balloon festivals do not have water available, and we do. So if we can do that, the wind is right, oh, yeah, that's where you see some of those great pictures. And there are photographs hanging in businesses all around town. You'll see it on calendars and on the Internet. There are a lot of pictures of balloons that are hovering over the bridge, next to the bridge, and in the channel. And that's a pretty unique experience. Yes, it is.
It's my understanding this year they're encouraging the pilots not to do that for safety reasons. But we know that they still do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well,
it's one of those things.
We started doing that because, unfortunately, the general public doesn't always give enough space.
Well, at least you didn't wince when I asked the question.
Yeah.
That's always the
That's
always kind of the thought on my end. Should I ask this question?
Yeah. Well, no, it's okay. I mean, but really, you get so many boats all crowding around underneath you, you can't splash.
Right,
because you'll land on a boat.
Right. So if you're out there watching the event with a boat, make sure you stay out of the way of the balloons as they come through.
Yeah, it's like going to watch the fireworks, you know.
Yeah.
You get out, you know, far enough away from spectator point, you don't go right up next to the shoreline.
Yeah,
know?
Right. I know a casino in Laughlin that fires off. Yeah, they get pretty close, but they keep a good clearance,
exactly,
too. So, all right, let's take another break. You're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Our guest, Jim Day, the past president of Lake Havasu Balloon Festival and Fair, and a wealth of information as well. Not the cat herder that Steve Tickner is, but he's very valuable nonetheless, right?
Absolutely.
I'm Paul Lavoie, myself and Dan DeLosantos. We'll return in just a moment. Stay with us. That's the best I could do for balloon music for right now, Dan.
Hey, that works really good, man.
All right. As we get a little psychedelic or whatever that era was, right, with the Fifth Dimension.
Fifth Dimension, man, those 60s.
We always like to play the Go Retro
on
the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, samsguns.com. Herbs, herbs. Thane O'Brien was spot on, now the preferred technology partner of the Arizona Restaurant Association. Give Thane a call at 928-706-2784 or send an email to T.O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And our Havasu Pioneers radio sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And I need to make a quick announcement, Dan, because this is a Sun Devils town.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, sir.
ASU at Lake Havasu. Well, the ASU Sun Devils tonight will have their, this will be a first broadcast anyway for this season on KNTR Sports for the basketball team.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, Bobby Hurley and company taking on Washington State. It's a, of course, a Pac-12 matchup. And the tip-off is at 5:30 from Tempe.
Wow, you gotta love that.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna give a quick shout out to John.
It's 980 AM, 100.5 and, 94.3.
There
go ahead.
You go. Yeah, I was gonna give a quick shout out to my, co-chair, which is John Kassler, helping me with Boat Patrol. There's so much going on.
And, I knew you had to have a hand in it.
Well, and you know, the one thing I really enjoyed about going to the, chairman's meeting, realizing how many just chairmen there were, but they each had a co-chair. And I can really see why they have one now, because
right.
There is so much going on with each segment that these chairmen are involved with and responsible for.
Interesting.
True. Yeah, we encourage every committee to have a chair and a co-chair, just because if something happens to one person, you have a knowledgeable person to take their place and help with transitions, because, you know, we're all volunteers. Our organization is all volunteers.
Speaking of volunteers, where do they go to volunteer?
You can go online, havasuballoonfestival.com, and says volunteer on there, and you click on, and then every single job, date and time and a small job description is listed. So you can go pick out whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, and you sign up. And
what do the volunteers receive?
And your volunteers all get a free wristband for the weekend and your volunteer T-shirt. And then at the end of the whole event, and usually in March, we have a little appreciation party for all the volunteers. And it's pizza and
right.
and sweets and door prizes and stuff we give away.
Is there a typical time frame that you want people to volunteer for? Is it two
now.
Hours, four
now.
Hours?
Oh, you know, for how long do they?
Now.
Yeah, now.
I like it.
Well, as I, our chairperson, Richard Kerber, who's a volunteer coordinator, he does a great job. He's designed this tremendous website for us and volunteer hub. And he said, we're pretty much on track. We have We're pushing 900 right now, but we need about 12. So many winter visitors are coming back,
right.
And many of our volunteers are winter visitors. They make great volunteers. You know, they're looking for something to do, and they're dependable and reliable people. And so we appreciate all that. And so now you can go online and right now, and obviously the sooner you do it, the more choices you have, because
right.
a lot of jobs will go away early, and others will still be there.
And the Boat Patrol, the schedule is not up yet, folks. I apologize, but it will be up in just the next couple of days. We'll have all the schedules. Now, there's six ascensions. So it starts on Thursday. The first ascension is in the afternoon.
Nice word to learn, by the way, for the Balloon Festival.
About 3:30
ascension.
In the afternoon.
Yep. Yes.
And then
mass ascension.
Yeah.
Mass ascension.
Okay.
Well, the first one will take place on Thursday, the 20th. Of January. That'll be about 3:30 in the afternoon. Friday, the first ascension will be about 6:30 in the morning is when you want to be prepared to see them go up, and they'll be up for a couple hours. And then the latter of the day will be at about 3:30 in the afternoon. Saturday, same schedule, a morning and an afternoon ascension. And Sunday will be the last ascension. That will only be in the morning.
Okay.
Well, so from an educational standpoint, We have been doing this. This will be our 11th year. We've only had one year that we were able to do all of our ascensions. We've always had to cancel one or two over the weekend because of weather.
The weather, right.
So, you know, if you want to see balloons fly, the best thing to do is you come in the morning. We usually ascend around 7:45. We have a flag-raising ceremony. That's a really cool event to see. One of the great things about Balloon Fest is you can be up close and personal. You will be right there on the ground, right in front of these balloons. You can watch them inflate. You can stand underneath them when they go up, but you have to get there early in the morning. Bring your jacket and keep warm, but it is well worth it, and you'll love every minute of it. But if you come at 10 o'clock, don't expect to see too many balloons in the air.
Yeah, you mentioned the jacket. Definitely bring that. It's still January.
Yeah, it's so, January. Yeah.
Well, you know, Havasu, historically, everyone says if you want a calm day, plan a sailboat race.
Yeah.
So we want to plan one for 4 days, and almost guaranteed there'll be no wind that day. Now, the one thing we haven't talked about, and that's when we do the glow, the night glow.
Mm-hmm.
So what day will we be doing the night glow?
We do a glow every night. Okay. Again, it's all weather permitting, but the glow, I believe, is 6 to 7. As soon as it's dark, you wait till it gets dark. And it lasts, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. And it's one of everybody's favorites because it's on the ground, and you literally are walking underneath and amongst these humongous balloons that are just glowing. You
can
know?
You feel the heat?
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. You can feel
oh,
the heat.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah,
if it's a cold night, you just go stand out there in the field and you'll be toasty warm.
right.
How many balloons do we usually see during a glow?
Most of the time, we break our group up into thirds, so you'll see 20 to 25 at any given time.
Okay.
I mean, you only have so much ground space.
Sure.
But part of it also is, you know, some will ascend in the morning, some will ascend in the afternoon, some will glow at night, and they rotate over the course of the weekend, so you get different balloons all the time. And then we have our tethered balloons also, which is very popular. You can actually buy a tethered balloon ride for $20, and we run those as long as we can. Again, if it doesn't get too windy, and they start usually right after the ascension, or around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then it usually can run at least a couple of hours or more every day.
But you have several events that surround the Balloon Fest, too. And as I understand it, different groups and nonprofits, like Kiwanis, for example, will run a few events, and Rotary, and all the different clubs, right?
Yeah, well, all the clubs obviously are part of the organization. And
is there a motivation for the clubs for doing that?
Well, they all get part of the revenue in the end. When we're done, all the proceeds are divided equally amongst the clubs, and then the clubs distribute to whatever charities they want
to
support.
True nonprofit right there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, so that's how it works financially. But we built this to not just be a balloon festival. It's also a festival and fair.
Fair, right.
So we will have well over 100 vendor booths. And we have all-day entertainment on a main stage, which is musical entertainment, various bands. And then we also have on the grass area throughout the day, we'll have dogs. You have Frisbee dogs, and then you have the Mojave County Sheriff's canine demonstrations. We have gymnastics people. We have a 5K run. We have belly dancers. And believe it or not, we have kite flyers. You know, it's kind of a
jinx right there.
It's like an oxymoron. We have kite flyers at a balloon festival.
That's funny.
When it's windy or if the balloons can't fly, we have kite flyers. And this year we have four or five in a group of synchronized kite flyers. These people are really tremendous. If you've never seen the synchronized flying, it's pretty fun to watch. And we have other flyers that entertain the kids, and they give away free kites, and the kids can hold, you know, some of the tricky kites that do loop-de-loops and different things. So there's a lot of entertainment that goes on all day long around the festival.
And there's really good food at the event, too.
We have roughly 40 or 50 food vendors,
And you'll probably hear a familiar voice on the PA from what I'm told. I've been voluntold.
Yeah.
So, for the spectator, what's the cost to get in for the weekend of events?
So our cost is $20 for the whole weekend. So
that's an affordable.
Oh,
that's so affordable.
You said 4 days?
4 days.
$5 a day?
Yeah.
For a wristband.
Yeah,
wow.
For a wristband.
That's amazing.
True Havasu event right there where the whole family can show up.
No kidding.
And that was part of the motivation. You know, it's a family event. It's affordable. And actually even kids under,
You're going to get in trouble with this
one. Well, this one's not my department, but there is a...
kids of a certain age.
Are free.
Okay.
The young kids are free.
It's probably on the website.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So I asked you a little bit earlier in the break, and let's go back about what is it? Is this the 11th or 12th year?
11th year.
11th year.
It's actually 12 years since we started, but we didn't have COVID year last year.
I got you. Oh, right.
We canceled 2021.
2009, you had several events. What survived, what didn't, and what's new from then?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. We added the 5K run.
Splash and Dash.
Well, the Splash and Dash has always gone on, but
unofficially.
One of the great things we used to have, you know, we started this event on the island at the Nautical Inn Golf Course.
Right.
We were there about 4 years. And on grass, we used to have a walk-in balloon, which was a balloon that we laid down on its side. We inflated it with just air, and you could walk inside the balloon. Really popular, a really cool experience. But we don't have that luxury where we are now because we're mostly asphalt or dirt, and that's hard on the balloon.
We're talking about Windsor, right?
At Windsor, yes. So we moved to Windsor. Overall, Windsor is a better location. We have much less traffic problems. The island was horrible for traffic, the bottleneck on the bridge.
Boy, but what a great place to take a photo of the blow.
Oh, yeah. It had some real pluses, but it had some minuses. And in the end, we've been much more successful at Windsor, especially in attracting more local residents because locals know they don't want to get caught on the bridge on the island. So we now have several off-site parking spaces so people can catch shuttle buses from off-site parking into the festival.
So let me ask you this, Jim, with about 6 minutes left, and we wanted to get to another topic as well. What about people that are drone enthusiasts? You want to keep them clear of this, right?
Man.
And how do you control that?
Well, you know, we do have security people on site. And like other events, you make announcements and you encourage people to please put your drone somewhere else.
It's illegal to fly your drone over state park property, first of all.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Without a permit.
Yeah.
So when we
talk about... they don't have a GPS.
So when we talk about drones, usually you see those around the London Bridge, and I'm a drone pilot myself. Along with several other people. Here's the challenge with that. For all of you drone pilots that think you have it all down, the problem is when you put more than two drones up in the air, actually more than one, you have the potential of interference with the channel.
Sure.
Now, folks, well, that may just sound detrimental to your drone. Imagine if that drone were to accidentally go through a balloon. We do not want to see that happen.
Yeah.
So I encourage everyone, if you feel you have to take a photo, take it long before the balloons reach the bridge. Bring your drone out of the sky long before they get to the bridge so that you're not a potential hazard, a safety risk for the balloons and the pilots.
Very good.
Yeah, those are all the safety. You know, there's always the other issue we had several years back was someone at the festival in one of our vendor booths was selling those little lanterns that you actually light with a candle.
Oh, the luminaries?
The luminaries, with a candle, and then they were letting those things. Well, that's a real no-go.
Oh, man. So, you know, we're going to jump into another topic real quick here, and Jim, I want you to stay with us. And
Thank you. We're
going to talk a little bit about the Parade of Lights.
Yeah, because, well, the reason I wanted to talk about it too, Dan, and I brought it up earlier when we were off the air, is because something that we've been following since, you know, dry dock
2 years
is going to be in the water and leading the Festival of Lights.
That's correct, and that will be the Dixie Belle.
That's going
to
be amazing.
And I understand they've been working on getting all the lights up, hung on that boat. It's been a huge undertaking, and the tickets on that boat, I believe, are $85 a person. If there's even room left, it could already be booked up.
I think it was sold out.
I think it's sold out. But so you're going to see the Dixie Belle leading the parade, a great way to end, you know, or to start up the 2022 year, to end the year, and you're going to see the bell along with, I believe, over 60 boats.
There's three vessels that'll be out front, and I think the Dixie Belle will lead them all. And part of that's the MCSO Boating Division, the Sheriff's Office boats. They'll be decorated. And then you have the Tacopa, the ferry.
Right.
Which I almost called it the dream catcher. But I'm dating myself though. So that's what we do here on the Havasu Pioneers radio show.
And if you haven't seen the parade before, I will tell you it's an amazing spectacle. They usually make a big solid loop around the island, so you're able to see the boats once and even twice. You're going to see at least 60 boats, I'm sure. I know they topped out last year at almost 75. But I will tell you to find your place early, because it's going to be buried along the shoreline, along the channel, and right. any other place that you can see the parade of lights.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
It is a free event, by the way. You can just go down and watch it.
Yeah, where does that start from?
It starts out in Thompson Bay. They line them up. Okay, they line them up there. At Thompson Bay, right. And then there's a procession underneath the London Bridge.
Right, so anywhere along the channel is a good
actually,
viewing.
Actually, you'll be able to see them at the Nautical. You'll be able to see them at London Bridge Beach. You'll be able to see them from Rotary Beach. You'll be able to see them from
anywhere through the channel.
You can go on anywhere. You can probably go on the bridge.
Actually, yeah. I know people that go out onto the island and go out and watch them as they go around the island.
But do they actually go all around the island?
Know,
they used to loop out after they went to the channel.
They had so many boats last year, I think they actually went around the island.
Sometimes it's a little choppy and they don't.
Right, right.
So I hear a few listeners out there yelling, what time? What time? It's I think it's 7 to 9 p.m., if I remember.
I know it's going to be dark.
Yeah, about 7 o'clock will be the start.
I would, if I were you, I'd be getting down there at about 5:30 to find a place.
You know, happen to know how many you're going to be on the Dixie Belle?
I'll be on the Belle.
Do you happen to know how many entries there are this year?
I don't, but
the
I can tell you.
The newspaper listed 70.
It used to be a yacht club production, but I'm not sure about that anymore.
It's no longer.
It's no longer London Bridge Yacht Club. Okay.
And every boat will be decorated. You're going to see some of the most amazing decorated boats out there. And they've gotten better and better over the years.
Yeah. So let's recap quickly Balloon Fest. We have a couple minutes left.
Yep.
The dates, the times, where you need to go to get tickets and volunteers.
Okay. Well, all our information is at HavasuBalloonFestival.com. We begin January 20th through the 23rd. It's a Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, half day Sunday. We have a balloon store downtown, on McCulloch Boulevard, the corner of McCulloch and Aquario. And you actually can go in there and get registered as a volunteer. Our people will assist you if you don't have a computer or you just need help and have questions. Right now that store is open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 to 2, but as we get closer there, we'll expand their hours.
And can you buy your tickets there as well to get
Yes, you will be able to beginning this month. So, yes.
All right, we have a quick phone call, hopefully. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yes, is anybody going to live stream this?
A live stream on
good
the internet?
Question.
That's a really good question. That's
a good question.
Are you talking about the Parade of Lights, or are you talking about the Balloon Fest?
Or both, either and, or I don't know, somebody's Facebook page, perhaps?
You want to volunteer, Jim?
No. I'll have other responsibilities. We will not be live streaming the Balloon Festival.
All right.
Not this year. I don't know about the Parade of Lights.
Right, right. All right. Great question, though. And,
that is a good question.
Jim, thanks so much for being with us. It's a wealth
Absolutely.
Of information.
Thank you.
Man, easily filled an hour.
Now, everybody pray for no wind.
No weather.
No weather.
No bad weather.
No bad weather. That's right, right. All right, another edition of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show in the books. And myself and Dan DeLosantos will return for a quick final shot in a moment. Stay with us. Jim, thank you. All right, back with more in a moment. All right, back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Dan, I just wanted to make sure that I wished you a happy holiday season, or I'm going to say Merry Christmas, all right? I'm going to go out on a limb there. Pretty much sure you celebrate Christmas.
I do, as a matter of fact.
Any special plans?
Yeah, steak and lobster.
Is that a tradition?
It is when I don't have to put out a turkey for 20 people.
Nice, nice. Oh, yeah, you don't want to put out steak and lobster for 20 people, right?
Not intentionally.
Unless you email my relatives and they send out the lobsters from Massachusetts.
No.
All right.
Happy holidays to you, too.
We're going
to
take 2 weeks off around Christmas, but the next Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is the first.
The 5th.
It's the 5th of January.
January.
Very good. Man, I'm so proud of you for knowing that.
I know. It's important. It's my show.
Don't forget, folks, Dan doesn't have the computer here, so I kind of forgot that you can connect with the Havasu Pioneers on Facebook.
That's correct.
Just search Havasu Pioneers, ask permission.
That's correct.
Answer a few questions,
that's
and
right.
Dan might let you in.
Yeah, you basically need to be living in Havasu or from Havasu,
right,
or Havasu Landing to be on the page, and we have the show and all kinds of history.
Very good. All right. Speak Out 2.0 is up next, and we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Paul.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.